Ryan Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
You know, I have found in my travels that all the best things in life happen after 2 a.m. Because after 2 a.m. is when things get, audience, say it with me, legendary.
Drop a dime on this fool.
Well...
Welcome. Glad you're with me. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. What do you mean the show doesn't start at 2 o'clock? I thought Nick was on 2 to 5. Is it, when did I was not told about the change in schedule. This is something very, very...
So the previous days when you started at 1, it was just, you just, that was the pre-show? You just, happened to catch it?
Did I start at 1? Can we go back and check the
very
tape?
Very nice.
All right, I guess maybe I did start at 1. Fake news, Dan. Don't come out at me with fake news.
Hey.
First of all, let me say thank you to Mark Carmen for staying an extra hour. I know he slaved over a hot microphone for 60 extra minutes, and he'll probably have to go on injured reserve or unable to playlist, the pup list. But I thank Mark Carmen. Thank you, Dan, for being so flexible. And it was...
Of course.
I will tell you the whole saga. After 3 o'clock, but it has been quite the night. Here's a little tip, and I'm sure our guests who are filmmakers will sympathize with this. When you're trying to shoot outside and Mother Nature has absolutely zero respect for the showbiz industry, you get delayed a lot. And I don't know why, but they're very nervous about lightning around all the electronics and stuff. So that was that. What'd I miss? Anything happen?
Bears lost.
I heard that. I heard Carm talking to his guy. That was not. You know what? It's funny. There was no talk of the Bears on the set. There was just everything.
That's a pregame. Preseason.
Practice. What did Trubisky play? 38 seconds?
A little bit.
Okay. Very nice. We're going to have some fun because it's Friday morning here on the Nick DiGilio Show, and we are going to talk to some three filmmakers coming up in just a minute who are making a documentary about a local company that was in the forefront of a movement. Some called it a revolution. So we will talk to the director, the producers, and the director of photography of F Your Hair. Or Dan, I'm going to ask you to help me pronounce the.
I think you got to go.
Cicupuelo?
You got to go to Esmeralda.
I got to go to Esmeralda for this. Is it P-U-E-L-O? Pulo?
Puelo.
Puelo?
Puelo? What is it?
P-U-E-L-O.
Oh, pelo.
Pelo? Tu pelo. Si tu puelo.
Yeah.
All right.
It's hair, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Hair.
Pelo.
Yes, very good.
Pelo.
F your hair, or they say it in, it's in Espanol, but we can't say either one. And Dan has been nice enough to warn me, and the guys are well versed. I'm not saying the true title of the film, and you'll find out why that is the title of the film in just a couple of minutes. So we're going to do that. Then, very exciting, people have been clamoring for it: the return of the overnight arcade at 3:30 today. It is the Tri-Bond Challenge. Yes, oh, it's going to be very exciting. Do we have prizes to give away, Dan?
We do.
We have prizes. This is going to be exciting. A lot of games, and then we'll just do some yakking, and we'll be out of here at 5 o'clock, and everybody gets to go home and enjoy their weekend. I've been, people were saying, I'm talking to some of the other people on the cast, and I was like, they're like, oh, we're so tired, we can't wait to get home and go to bed. How far do you have to go? I said, well, I'm actually going to work.
I'm a major market radio personality.
Yeah. Oh, really? I was like, yeah. And then it turns out, two of the guys who were in the cast I interviewed before when I was filling in for Steve Cochran. They create a Christmas show with all Beatles songs.
Wow.
At a church in Naperville. And it's two brothers. And they said, your name sounds really familiar. And I said, oh. And then somebody asked what I did. And I told them I work here. And then they went, oh, so we know Steve Cochran. And I said, well, I know Steve Cochran, too. And then it came out how they, and they said, we were in once, and it wasn't him. And we think it was you. And then I said, well, what's the show? And they said, the Beatles Christmas show. And I said, yes, that was me. So, small world. Showbiz is a small world, Dan. You know, everybody's friends in show business.
I mean, it was the hour we did the other morning was fascinating.
Well,
it was, and that Prestone commercial, by the way, folks, is now included in that podcast. So if you want to check it out.
I saw that you posted that. My big dumb mug in that still frame is.
I was very intimidated by Mobster U.
Didn't I look very mean?
Yes, very much so.
Very mean. Had more hair. It was darker. I was younger. I was about twice the size. And I think I was kind of mean looking. But that was what they wanted.
That was the role. And what a job it was, because you're such a gentle soul, you know, and I was scared when
it's
I watched.
It's called acting, Dan. I'm a thespian. I don't know if you know that. That's with a TH, in case people are mishearing at this hour of the morning. All right, enough about me. We'll talk more about this in a little bit, but I want to get our guests in here, so we're going to take a quick break. Then we will meet the men behind F Your Hair or Si Tu Puelo. Is that how I say it, Esmeralda? I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to throw a lot of sauce on it.
Pelo.
Pelo?
Mm-hmm.
Pelo. Like that. Pelo. Like I just said it. Okay. Pelo. I'll have them say it. It's their movie. I'll just say F Your Hair. All right. Let's do this. Then we'll talk to these guys. It's Brian Newton in for Nick on WGN. All right. I've arrived. Better late than never, that's what I say. Brian Noonan in for Nick, and I am very excited that I did get in at least by 2 o'clock. Again, thank you to Mark Carman for staying a little bit longer tonight, because I've been looking forward to talking to these guys. Jason Polavoy, and forgive me if I mispronounce your last names, we haven't had time to talk. Jason Polavoy, is that correct?
Polavoy, close enough.
Polavoy, and Nick Jenkins?
Correct.
That's the traditional pronunciation. And Teddy Washoles.
Waffles. Just call me Teddy Waffles. That's easier.
Teddy Waffles. All right. They are. Jason is the producer and director. Nick is the producer. And Teddy is the director of photography of a new documentary. We've gone back and forth of how to say the title of the documentary. You guys
right.
know this. Well, we're going to say F Your Hair or Si Tu Puelo.
I think
Pelo. Is that correct?
Pelo. But Pelo. The name of the film you can stick with is F Your Hair.
F Your Hair.
Yeah.
And people might be going, why would you have somebody on to talk about a movie that sounds so obscene? But this is not obscene. It's a wonderful story about a local business who, through no fault of their own, because of their character and their determination, became kind of the spearhead for a movement of rebellion against President Trump. Let me play the audio with the trailer and let people kind of get what we're talking about, and then we'll get into how you guys got involved with this.
The U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problems.
Is this what he said? Really?
They were really just getting started, and I think their big break was that they were the house beer for Trump Hotel.
I know he was not the very best guy, but...
It was not something that we thought about. We were just like, there's this account. They're pretty big.
Business is business. I mean, we were just selling beer.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Why, I don't know. I don't know what to say, really.
Trump is un malparido. I don't know. He's a I mean, I can't believe that we're selling to them.
Essentially, what they're saying to Donald Trump is, you're fired.
It was just such a moral stand.
No, they're not saying that at all.
We thought it wouldn't be congruent to be making a beer for the Trump Towers.
You'll see it in the lawsuit. You'll read about it as soon as I file the lawsuit.
We all felt that there was no choice but to really do this.
I do remember being very nervous.
It's celebratory. It's not negative.
It's a perfect little middle finger, so to speak.
It was something that took a life of its own.
It's It's the magic elixir for all of us.
It's so funny and ridiculous that no one can really say, oh, you're telling Donald Trump, you know, you. I mean, we are, but...
All right, that is the trailer for F Your Hair. Now, the story is a local one. I know you saw it in the news when this happened. You heard some of the president's comments when he was on the campaign trail, and that spurred this. Who would like to kick this off? Jason, since you are the Jason, Nick, you guys are the producer. Teddy, we'll get to you about shooting it in a minute. Tell us the background. Tell us who it's about, the local business, and how this all started.
Yeah, so this is the story of Andres and Mila, who own Five Rabbit Cerveceria, which is a craft brewery in Bedford Park, which is just south of the city.
They make good beer, too.
They make really good beer.
I'll just put that out there first.
And they are a Latin-inspired brewery, but both of them are... Latin American immigrants. Andres is from Costa Rica, Mila is from Peru, and they both immigrated to the United States via Mexico. So they have a great, rich heritage in Latin America, and they make beers inspired by that heritage. Early on in the brewery's sort of life, they got a contract to make the house beer for the new Trump Tower in Chicago.
It sounds like a good deal.
It's a great deal. These contract beers are already sold, so you know that you don't have to worry about which bars are going to take them or which grocery stores. So you're making beer that is already sold. The money is easy. Yeah.
And for a small business, that's great.
Yeah.
And for a local brewery to get in somewhere that big, that just increases their footprint all over.
Right. And we're not talking about Goose Island or Lagunitas or even, like Revolution. We are talking about a small brewery at that point. And so they have this contract with the Trump Tower to be in the on the rooftop and in 16 and all over. In rebar, and then of course Trump makes those infamous comments when he announced his candidacy for the presidency, and it didn't sit well with Andres and Mila, obviously, and Andres's partner Chompy, and they made the decision that they were going to pull their beer from all of the Trump properties.
Now, this was not a decision that they made lightly. They were actually advised by their lawyers and everybody else, don't do this. This is, one, it's a great opportunity for the business, and two, we have a contract. So this took a lot of thought, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely took a lot of thought. It happened, especially in Mila's mind, pretty quickly.
Okay.
Not necessarily the actual mechanisms of it, but most of the people there associated with the brewery knew that really they had no choice.
Right. How can you, as a Latin American business, support that?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's easy for somebody to say that, I won't shop there, I won't go. But when you've got all this invested, it's a much bigger thing. They had to be looking at potential serious damage to the brewery.
Right. I mean, one of the things that Five Rabbit is known for is using these really exotic ingredients in their beers, which is something that makes them unique and interesting. And they've won a lot of awards for their beers because of those ingredients. But they're very expensive ingredients. it's not just brewers, malt and barley. They're using things from the rainforests of, Brazil and places that are, really hard to get ingredients from. And so this really challenged their ability to kind of remain themselves and brew the kinds of beers that they wanted to brew, pulling out of Trump Tower like that.
So now they make this decision. However, they've already brewed a lot of beer, because when you have a contract like that, you've got to have a stockpile of supply to meet that demand. So, Nick, what happens then? They're sitting, they make the decision, all right, we're done, now what?
Yeah, and so that's basically the entire conflict of the movie, is what do they actually do with all that beer that they brewed? So, from a legal standpoint, you kind of teed it up. There was the whole contract issue of could they actually go out and sell this beer? And would that be even be a prudent move from a legal standpoint? And so they debated it pretty significantly internally among the three main founders of the business, and ultimately decided that, you know, if they threw this away, it would be a massive financial hit to them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you talk
how
about
how much beer are we talking?
We're talking about 50 plus kegs.
For, you know, a small brewery,
for
that's
a small brewery,
lot
I mean, that's
beer.
A lot. And it's, you know, it's not just that; it's the operational aspects of having that line already set up and it's sitting there in their, you know, in their factory. And so they're looking at it and they're saying, "This is perfectly good beer. What do we do with it?" And, you know, the thought of potential legal ramifications obviously crossed their mind. But then they said, "Well, we can't throw it away. So let's start calling people in and around Chicago. We have a lot of friends in the bar and restaurant community here. Let's just kind of pitch them on the story and see what happens." And that's where really the story for us and F Your Hair takes off.
How did you guys? How long have you been doing documentaries? Is this? I know this is not your first one.
So, you know, we run a production company here in Chicago called One City Films.
Right.
And when Jason initially brought this story to us, we're always kicking around ideas of, you know, what do we want our next film to be? What do we want to put into production? And immediately when he brought this film to us, we were, you know, we jumped at it. And then once we got into it, it became this incredibly layered and just very deep story that we didn't think it was going to be on the surface.
And Jason, how did you hear? I mean, we all kind of heard about it in the news because there were stories about a lot of businesses. Five Rabbits seemed to be locally, they were the one that spearheaded the whole thing. But there were businesses around the country that started stopped doing business.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge beer guy.
Okay.
I live for craft beer. And so I had heard
the
story.
And yet you weigh like 78 pounds. I love craft beer. I look like a guy who drinks a lot of craft beer. You look like a guy who like walks by or carrying a craft beer, but you don't really drink it.
It's genetics. You know, my grandfather was 6'1", 125 pounds when he went into the military in World War II.
Man.
So it's just good genetics. That's
there you
it.
Go.
So
anyway, you're a big beer guy.
I'm a big beer guy. I had Five Rabbit beers before this, and then I was sort of following the story, and I thought, that's incredible, and I bought a t-shirt. And that's, you know, then it stopped kind of for a bit, and I used to produce a show on WGN called Chicago's Best.
Yes.
And we did a Brew Pubs episode, and I said, I want to get those guys on the show.
Okay.
So I went, and I met Andres and Mila, and we ended up talking for a couple hours after we were done filming the segment for the show that night. And I said, hey, I want to tell your story. And they said, I don't think so. No, thank you.
Oh.
We don't want to be the F Your Hair brewery.
Okay.
We want to be known for more than that. Yeah, and I respected that. I mean, if they had just said no, we don't trust you to tell the story, I would have been a little bit offended. But but this was this felt like a more substantive you know, reason. And I badgered Mila for about 6 months after that.
Really?
And then
what finally made her change her mind?
I think, you know, she called me one day and she said, "I think we're ready to tell the story." And you know, I'm speaking for her a little bit here, but I think it was because she realized that none of this was going away.
Okay.
It was getting worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we want to get into all of that. We want to get into how they decided on the name of the beer, what it means for, in some respects, to be the F Your Hair Brewery, because once the film comes out, which is, of course, called F Your Hair, the guys from One City Films are here. They are starting a Kickstarter, which launches Wednesday, August 15th. You can go to onecityfilms.com, get all the information. We'll have more with Jason, Nick, and Teddy on the other side of the news, which we will do right after this on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan in for Nick on 720 WGN, and we are talking beer, kinda. We're also talking documentaries, and we're talking about a local business that made a stand and decided morally they just could not work with the Trump organization. Five Rabbit Brewery, if you'll remember the stories, once the president made those disparaging comments while he was on the campaign trail about people from Mexico, the Five Rabbit folks said, you know what? Despite the fact that we have a contract to be the house beer for Trump Tower, which, very lucrative deal, great deal for a small business, they said, listen, we cannot be part of this. Jason, Polavoy. Polavoy?
Polavoy.
Polavoy. Ah, I was so close. Jason Polavoy, Nick Jenkins, and Teddy Waffles. Yes, Teddy, I went with the Waffles.
Thank you.
You're welcome. They are One City Films, and they have put together a documentary about this story. It is called F Your Hair. You can learn all about it on Facebook if you look up F Your Hair Documentary. It's on Facebook. You can get there. They got a big Kickstarter starting August 15th. So support this because it is a great story about a local business that really, and I don't think it's hyperbolic to say this, guys. You could disagree if you want. They put it all on the line when they made this decision. This is a decision that could have sunk this business.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just the fact that they could actually, you know, ruin their relationship with other brewers and other people mm-hmm. in the industry. It was their customers, too. I mean, you think about it, there's a lot of people, even still today, if you go to their Yelp page, that leave negative reviews simply based on the fact that they brewed this beer. So
sure.
It was the repercussions from customers, brewers, anyone in the industry, potentially.
Well, because for everybody who will say, we applaud them for taking this stand, and there will be another person on the other side will say, this is disrespectful, how dare you do this? Mm-hmm. So that's, no business is in, you know, no business is going to make money by alienating potentially half their customers.
Right.
So what... They come to this decision, and you guys, we started talking about this before. They decide, all right, we're gonna break our contract, no matter what happens to us legally. Now we've got all this beer. We're gonna start calling around. So they're calling around, but they can't. What happens because they can't sell it as the Trump beer, right? So
how does
the name, how does this all evolve, and what happens with all this beer that they've brewed?
Yeah. So initially, they thought they would just sell the beer to bars, sell out the 50 barrels, be done with it, maybe not even brand it as Five Rabbit, just
okay.
some sort of house beer for every bar that they sold it to.
All right, that makes sense.
But as the barrels started going out, some of the brewers there started writing funny names on the keg collars. And one of those names was Expletive Donald, you know. Expletive your mother, Donald.
Okay.
And so it kind of caught on, and that was the name of this very limited run beer.
And what kind of beer? Just somebody asked me, was it a blonde ale?
It was.
What kind of beer was it?
It was a golden ale. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it initially went out with this name, and pretty quickly they got some pushback on the name
sure.
because of the idea that, you know, Donald Trump's mother had nothing to do with these comments.
Yeah.
Culturally, you know, we've learned that what they called this beer doesn't exactly have the literal translation that we think it does in English.
Okay.
But, you know, nonetheless, they decided that they needed to change the name of the beer because it was important to them that they not be part of the problem.
Yes.
So Mila, who... you know, spearheads a lot of the kind of creative work at Five Rabbit, called her friend Liz Garibay, who is a kind of a well-known alcohol historian in Chicago.
Okay.
And they were talking about what the new name of this beer could possibly be. And they knew they wanted to keep it similar to Expletive Your Mother, Donald. And Liz suggested that they take the feature that Donald Trump is most famous for,
okay.
which is, of course, his hair.
It's beautiful locks. Luxurious.
And so it all kind of snowballed from there. And as they tell it, it happened pretty quickly. And it's a stroke of genius because not only is the name better.
Right. Yes.
It's wittier, it's charming, it's funny, but also it's got more of a bite, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the name of the film comes from, F Your Hair.
Yes.
The name of the beer is F Your Hair, but in Spanish.
Ah, very nice. I'm not going to bother with that. Trying to say it in Spanish. because Esmeralda gets mad and she comes in here and then she slaps me. Because she doesn't, you know. But at least I admit that I'm having trouble with the pronunciation. But, okay, so now they've got the new name and the 50 kegs, I'm guessing, are gone, boom, right away. do they decide? What do they decide to do then? Do we keep brewing this beer with this name? Do we let this story die so that, as you said, we're not known as the F Your Hair Brewery? Where do they decide to go?
Yeah, the beer sold out very quickly, and they did a couple more limited runs, okay, leading up to the election. And then when Donald Trump was elected president, they decided that the concept, the idea, the beer needed to evolve. So they changed the name to a name that I can actually say on the radio, which is La Protesta, which means the protest.
Ah.
And they did something kind of interesting with that. They take a local artist, and they allow them to design the can art for La Protesta, and then they take a charity of that artist's choice, and they donate a portion of the proceeds of the sale from La Protesta to the charity of that artist's choice. So the first can was all about environmental issues, and that was done by Eric Garcia, and then Deanna Solis did the second can, and that's all about bullying, and the third can was done by Lily Wachowski, and it's a beautiful painting of a heart, because inside all of us is the same beating heart.
Now that's, I like that idea,
yeah.
Because you've made your point with this, you're still making a point. But I think, and they must have found, and you guys probably in your research have found this too, La Protesta is going to, I think, be an easier sell. You know, when it comes to it, you know, after you make your stand, which they did in a very genuine way, then you have to start looking at, are we always going to be the business that is banging heads, or are we going to do it? Are we going to slap people a little more subtly? And I think that's it sounds like that was a decision they made.
And that's exactly right. Yeah. And in the dollar donation piece of this whole story, which is continued on today in La Protesta, actually did start with the blank Tupelo F Your Hair beer. They donated a dollar from that to various charities and organizations here in Chicago. Nice. And then instead of, like you said, sort of continuing to beat the drum and beat people over the head with this message about Trump, they turned and they said, well, can we continue what we want to do, continue donating to various organizations, but do it using the name of a new beer, something that could live on indefinitely.
Very nice. And is it the same beer?
It is.
Okay.
And so, people like it, too. And that's the other thing.
I was going to ask if you guys had had it.
It sold out because people really enjoyed drinking the beer. It's a very light, drinkable beer. And even when it was in the Trump Tower, people ordered it quite a bit. It was a very popular beer, and they brewed a lot of it for the Trump Tower. So it didn't sell out when it was Blank Tupelo because of the name necessarily. People actually just like drinking it. It's a good beer. Good.
Yeah, because a catchy name will get you one, but it's not going to get you another one. You know, it's like, forget it. So once you convince the people at Five Rabbits that this is a good idea, that yes, we're going to make this film. We want to tell your story. Every good film needs, you need a hero and then you need the villain. How was it to approach the Trump Organization? Did they cooperate at all with the film? Were you able to talk to them? What was their stance on this?
We spoke with some former employees.
Okay.
But Donald Trump's a hard man to get to these days.
Well, sure.
I know that it's public knowledge that they are having some issues at the Trump Tower with the retail space and with the restaurants. And there was a story recently that they have removed the name Trump from their mailings and from their print work on the actual outside of the building in an attempt to attract people. So they are not really in the business of doing this kind of press at this point.
They don't want to add fuel to the fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
Who else did you talk to? So obviously we're going to hear from the people from Five Rabbits. Who else is in this film?
Well, there's a lot of people. We did probably, 15 interviews. So we spoke with Andre Sanmila and Chompy. And then Randy Mosher, who, if you know anything about craft beer, he's a legend in the craft beer world. He is the creative director at Five Rabbit. We spoke with the former food and beverage manager at the Trump Tower, who brought in Five Rabbit into the building. He's no longer working there, which is why he was more open to talking with us.
Now, did his leaving have something to do with this problem or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
He just left.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, greener pastures, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like the way that you guys are all looking at each other like, how do we say this? We don't say it, we just move on.
Yeah.
And Teddy just sits there going, I just shoot the film.
I'm glad you're taking the lead here.
I'm
the behind the scenes guy.
I take the pictures.
Yeah. We talked with Michael Kaiser, who is from Good Beer Hunting, which is a really big beer blog. Mm-hmm. We spoke with a couple of bar owners in the city who actually brought the beer in.
Okay.
Michael Roper from the Hop Leaf, which is one of the best beer bars in the country, let alone just in the city. And we spoke with the guys from Roots Pizza, they do all Midwestern beers in Roots. So they were really supportive. We spoke with
one more that I think we should definitely mention is this gentleman by the name of Battle Martin. And if you Google beer bottle dictator, his name will be one of the first names or the only name. There's only one dictator that comes up, and he worked for an organization inside the government called the TTB, the Tax and Trade Bureau, that essentially approves labels for interstate shipping of bottles. But, you know, he worked there for 15 or so years, and he developed this this reputation of being a man who would answer your emails at 2:30 in the morning or 3 in the morning and, you know, give you approval. But he was also very finicky about denial. Exactly. important thing to call out because, he had very strict standards on what could or could not be approved.
Okay.
And, there's a whole thread about this label, the Blank Two Palo Beer, actually getting approval through the TTB. So we have Battle. He's now retired. We have him on camera. And it's the first time that he's ever appeared on camera or spoken about his work. So he's kind of a legend in the industry. It's a very big get for this film.
Yeah, and I didn't even think of that aspect of it. If you're going to label something for sale, you have to there has to be some sort of approval.
Yeah, and there's a variety of First Amendment issues and using likeness and things that ultimately also weighed in on the decision of should we bottle this and sell this.
That is amazing. How now you mentioned you touched on it a little bit when the first 50 kegs when they start getting rid of those and people are buying, what was the reception from other brewers in the area? Well, not the people who were actually buying the kegs, but other breweries. Did they get any support? Did they get backlash? What was the feedback?
Yeah, the craft beer community is extremely tight-knit, not just in Chicago, but all across the country. That's why you'll often see collaborations between breweries. They're very, very supportive of each other. We didn't speak with any other brewery owners for the film, but brewery owners were not the ones that were causing trouble for Andres.
Was it was bar owners or patrons? Or just people who drink beer and, you know, get on the internet because they have beer muscles all of a sudden and say whatever they want?
You know, there's the now famous quote about LeBron James that's, you know, shut up and dribble.
Yes.
So we have an actual voicemail that Andres received, hate mail, essentially, and it basically says, shut up and brew beer.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're shutting up. And we're brewing the beer, and we're not selling it to certain places. That's exactly what we're doing. Jason, Nick, and Teddy are One City Films. The film is F Your Hair. It is how one Chicago craft brewery became a symbol of the resistance. OneCityFilms.com. Let's take a quick break. We got to ask Teddy a couple questions. Because he just sits there.
We have to. I can oblige.
Chillax. And then we'll talk a little bit about the project that you guys are going to do. And the Kickstarter, which starts on August 15th. You need to go to Facebook and go to F Your Hair. You can get all the information. You can see the trailer that we played the audio of earlier. All the information is right there. More with the guys after this, 720 WGN. OneCityFilms.com is the website where you can go and get all the information on the newest documentary by Jason Nick and Teddy, F Your Hair. It is about Five Rabbits Brewery and an unbelievable story about a local business that made a stand and really risked just about everything. How long have you guys been together making films?
Hold on.
I should probably turn your mic on.
That would help.
Well, listen, I had the other ones on.
We have been...
You talked enough, Jason. You were done.
I shut you off.
I'm only leaving Teddy's mic on.
We've been together for...
almost 2 years.
Almost
right?
2 years.
Very nice.
Yeah. We've been making films together for almost 2 years.
And what is the with the Kickstarter? What are your hopes for the film?
Yeah, independent film is hard.
Yes.
It's hard to get financing. But we have Teddy is an incredible shooter. Nick is also a great shooter, and we're editors as well. But there are some skills that we just we would like to leave to the people that do it best.
Yeah.
And so we are raising money for some of the post production services, for a score for the film, so the mixing, the color correction, all that kind of good stuff that is super specialized. And the people who do it best, you got to pay them. So.
And then when it's all done and all that stuff happens, the goal is what, to get it into festivals and then. It gets recognized and then hopefully released somewhere, right?
Yeah, we are waiting to hear. We should hear in the next couple of weeks whether or not we got into the Chicago International Film Festival.
Nice.
We will be submitting to Sundance in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
And then, yeah, the idea is that as many people see it as possible and, you know, go buy this beer from Five Rabbit.
Yeah, it seems like an interesting a story that people would want to watch, especially in this climate now, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on. This story is going to spur discussion. It's going to get people riled up one way or another. So I think this is perfect timing for this. And I know that's not why they didn't do it for that. You know, I'm sure Five Rabbits would have just been happy to, you know, have a contract somewhere and have their beer sell and, you know, have the president not make these comments and just be able to, you know, keep selling beer.
It would have saved them a lot of time and effort, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a lot of legal bills.
Yeah.
So, Teddy, I'm going to ask you this question now. You guys are leaving here to shoot something out. What are you shooting later this morning?
We're working on two films at the same time, F Your Hair, which is our short, and then we've been working on a feature-length film about a guy named Jamal Cole and his foundation called My Block, My Hood, My City. I'm actually wearing a t-shirt
now. Yes, I see it right there.
Shout out, Jamal. And that's about him and his journey about starting and maintaining this nonprofit that takes kids from under-resourced and forgotten communities in Chicago. Takes them on, he calls them explorations through the city, get them out of their neighborhood. A lot of these kids haven't seen much beyond their own couple blocks. That's, you know, their worldview is restricted to what they've seen. And so he takes them around traveling and gets them to open their minds. And he always says, you know, kids will do better if they can see better. I hope I didn't butcher his, he's a wordsmith. I'm not even going to try to quote him, but, and that's going to be a feature length, and who knows when that'll be finished, probably another year until anyone's going to see anything from that. But, we'll be going down to North Lawndale in probably 30 or 40 minutes here. And, two of the kids we're following, they're going off to college, and that's really exciting because
it's great.
These kids are graduating. And, I think it's in big part due to Jamal being in their lives.
Well, these are unbelievably cool stories. And it's like, all right, Jason, you brought the beer when you saw this one. It comes from newspapers. Where do you guys, how'd you find out about My Block, My Hood, My City?
Jason, again, through his show.
Jason's the guy.
So he could take that one.
I mean, it was a similar situation. I read about Jamal, and I think a lot of people maybe know Jamal as the shoveling guy. He got a lot of big news last winter when he called for volunteers from the city
to
go and shovel on the south side for some elderly folks, and a lot of people showed up. So I had read news stories about him many years ago, and I said, I want to meet this guy, and we kind of hit it off, and I said, what can I do, how can I be around this guy, and that was to make a documentary about his life.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are doing some great work. Good luck with both films. But right now, the focus is F Your Hair. If you like beer, if you like local businesses, if you like interesting stories, go to Facebook, F Your Hair, and donate to the Kickstarter campaign. Help these guys out. Let's get this movie completely finished and support a local filmmakers making stories about local businesses. And it sounds great. Again, onecityfilms.com mm-hmm. is your website. People can go there, get all the information. Jason, Nick, Teddy, thanks for coming in. This good luck with the film. This is very, very cool. Let me know how it goes.
Thank you. So much. Appreciate it. Thanks having us.
It's my pleasure. Let's take a quick break, and then it's news time. WGN. I thought you forgot to play the music. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio. Nick will be back Monday morning. This is Friday morning for us, so the last day together with Dan and Esmeralda and Vic. I have had a wonderful week. It turns out I made a little mistake because I thought I'm goofy. So I told you I was shooting that NBC episodic earlier Thursday night. Well, when I booked it, I thought, like most of the things I've done in TV, they start really early in the morning. That's why I thought, well, because I said, what time? When I found out I had booked it, I said, what time? And my agent said, oh, they'll tell you, but they usually don't tell you until about 8 o'clock the night before. And I'm like, oh, well, that doesn't really help me out. And I thought, okay, going back through my history of TV, everything, I always had early calls. I always had to be on set early. So that's why I figured, well, I won't work Wednesday night into Thursday, because I'll have to be up and at the set. Well, then last night at about 7:30, I find out my call wasn't until 5:15 tonight, and I'm like, "Oh, well, that was dumb. I could have worked. Could have worked Wednesday to Thursday, and then you know, probably still work tonight." But either way, so Mark was here last night and he stayed an extra hour today. But it was, I'll tell you, you realize how much money goes into these TV shows. Just for example, I'm a guy with one small part in one scene at the very beginning of the show. I go in on Wednesday to get fitted for my wardrobe. You know, so I go in and the night before they had asked me all my sizes and this and that. So I send all my things and I go in and they had all brand new clothes for me to try on. New, like three different pairs of pants, a couple different shirts, a couple sport coats, a couple pairs of shoes, all in my size, all fit nicely, a new belt, some socks, t-shirt, everything. Now multiply this by every character. So today there was a, not counting the background, the extras who bring their own clothes, there were the main characters in the episode. So there's three of the main cast, the regular cast members were there. So they had all their stuff. Then there were like six or eight, maybe 10 day players or people who were here for just this episode. So all of that. And then multiplied by all the shows that they're, the money that goes out. And then the amount of people that it takes to work on it. This show, I was in a crane shot. Yeah, the show starts with a crane up close, and then it pulls back, and there I am, and, you know, it's insanity.
Up close on you or on the coffin?
No, it starts up close on a picture of the guy, and then then I start to talk, and it pulls out, and then the crane gets me, and then boom, another camera gets me.
Did you try the accents?
I didn't do any accents, but I added a line. I added two things, which the director loved. Because there was no, I'm giving this toast, you know, but there was no button on the toast. There was nothing at the end. It was just, you know, just hung there. So I threw in a cheers at first. And they liked that during rehearsal. But then I thought, you know what? This is an Irish toast. I threw in a sláinte at the end.
Oh, look at you.
Woo-hoo! Do I get a writer's credit? Nope. So he liked that. And then it was just a cold open. So I added a friend's raiser to get everybody's attention, to rally them around. They liked that too. So he kept it. Didn't really have any direction for me. Just, you know, take a half step to your left. So you're more in, so we can line up the camera. Then they moved a couple extras out of the way. So boom, it was just like you and me, Dan, bang. Here's something weird. I'm on the set, and, you know, there's so many crew people doing an unbelievable job, and they're there, you know, they're there way before we get there, and they're still there, you know, tearing everything because they got to get the crane out of there. And then there was a dolly shot, so there are tracks down to, with the camera on the dollies, and there's three other camera people. And then I'm looking at the lighting guys, and I go, that guy looks familiar. I played eighth grade football with the lighting director.
Yeah.
Who, on my very first acting gig ever, way back in the late 80s, was for a Montgomery Ward commercial with Ditka. He was just starting his career in the lighting field then, and now he's been doing it for, you know, 30 years. And I was like, Mark? He goes, Brian? I go, Mark? It was very cool. So, somebody's asking what's the name of the show. I don't think I can say the name of the show yet. It's one of the NBC shows, and it may have Chicago in the title. There, that narrows it down.
So you should watch all three of them.
You should watch all three of them starting, and I think this one airs sometime in September. It is the third episode of this series, of this season, season three of this show. These shows are doing good. Dick Wolf's making some money. He's got to slap that Chicago on in front. How about Chicago Radio? Then we could all be in that.
I like it.
Yeah, but then they'd bring in some people from L.A. and
yeah,
you know,
some pretty people.
They don't need to. Esmeralda's got her own catchphrase now, so.
Oh, I do, yeah.
What is that?
It's trash. I'll be starring in some, ambulance chaser lawyer commercials soon.
That's fantastic.
With me going, it's trash.
It almost sounds like Grand Ole Opry-ish. Like something Southern fried.
Yeah.
It's trash.
Yeah,
I guess you could do it
way.
You could do it in any accent.
I think that right. would be like season two, because I imagine it spins off into a sitcom.
Oh, it has to.
And, you know, there's got to be the fun theme. It would have a theme song because we Esmeralda would demand it.
Of course.
And then, you know.
Why would you not?
At one point, her, you know, hands on her hips. It's trash.
It's trash.
And then I would do it in different languages.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Because I could learn it's trash. In all different Portuguese.
Yeah, that's an easy, you know, that's,
French.
You know, one phrase.
Yeah.
Your catchphrase.
But she meets her Southern cousin, you know, in like Missouri or something.
Well, that's not very Southern.
No, it's not. I was
it's Southern
like,
enough, but,
yeah.
You know, you go a little deeper.
Georgia.
Georgia, Alabama, somewhere down there.
Wherever you want to go, Esmeralda, because at that point you're the star, and so to appease you, they're
true.
Just going to take you to various places.
Yeah, you could do whatever.
It's like the third in the sequel where they go like across the world because it's the only way the stars would sign up is they got a free trip to Europe, you know?
I'll tell you, being on set for a short time tonight, you can see how these actors and stuff get spoiled. You mentioned they treat Esmeralda good because she was a star.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's amazing. I had a stand-in.
Really?
That's right. Because I can't be on the set while they're setting the lights. That's insanity. I have to go sit in the green room while all the background people stay on a bus or out in the rain. I go into my old building because I'm a big shot. I was on the first team.
By the way, craft services alone.
Oh.
I would get in that acting gig if I could.
I'll tell you what. It was nice craft service tonight. I had to go to CineSpace, the big production facility down at like 17th and Western. And I didn't realize, I knew we were going to be off the studio lot shooting in somebody's backyard. So I get there and I have to go and, you know, they say, oh, your dressing room is over here. And it's got my character name on it. I'll put some pictures up. Crony, that's my big character name. I don't even have a real name. I'm just a crony. And the lovely production assistant said, just so you know, we've been having some trouble with our air conditioning in the trailers today. She was not lying. First of all, now, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling, because everybody thinks, oh, so glamorous. Let me tell you the glamour of being a day player on a network television show. I walk into this. It's a trailer that's divided into like four dressing rooms. The dressing rooms are small. To be honest, you walk in and it's maybe about 7 feet wide and about 6-8 feet long. There's a little like sitting kind of couch thing on one side. There's a tiny toilet and a sink. and you think, oh, isn't that nice? I have a private bathroom. You'd be wrong. Big sign, right, taped to the wall with green warning electrical tape. Don't use toilet or sink. I'm like, oh, all right. And there's my costume is hanging in there. So, but there's no air. It was, imagine, I was like Veal. I was stuffed in a little box. So I get all, you know, get my costume on. And then they take me to hair and makeup, which is every time I've been on TV, it's been basically the same thing. They look at me and go, yeah, all right. That was it. The woman, I walked in and the head of the makeup department looked in, and I was red. My face was so red because it was so hot in this dressing room that I looked like I'd been in a sauna. And she's like, oh, you've been out in the sun. I go, well, it was mostly from the dressing room. She goes, well, I'm guessing they hired you because of how you looked. You look like an Irishman who's got a red face. We're just going to leave it. I'm like, okay. And then she goes, all right, now you move over here and sit in the hair department. And I'm like, really? And the poor woman who's doing everybody's hair. Meanwhile, one of the stars of the show is down there and he's getting his hair tinted and blown up and it's crazy and they're working out his hair. And she just looks at mine and goes, eh, maybe I'll clean up your neck a little. So she just got shaves about. I got a nice shave on the back of my neck. All
that's
cleaned.
Nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
You're going to pay for a haircut now.
It's terrific. I loved it. So getting to Esmeralda's point, which I will, we will talk about craft services after this. Yeah. Oh, Esmeralda. Not once, but twice. Craft services. Phenomenal. Oh, yes. Showbiz stories. Everybody loves them because they're so glamorous. Here's something else in TV. You know, you see a show that's supposedly set in a certain city, and sometimes you can tell it's not. Well, the Chicago shows all shoot here, which is good. We were supposed to be in a Canaryville backyard. You know where Canaryville is, don't you? Down near Bridgeport, down near Guaranteed Rate Field, where the White Sox play, and we are the home of the White Sox. I'll throw that in, cross-promotion. That's how we do it. So where would you think we shot in? Where was this yard you think we shot in?
Ravenswood.
Yeah, it was just about in Wisconsin. It was so far north. It was like at, I forget how far north we were off Western.
You might have been where I live.
Where do you live?
Montrose. Montrose and Kimball.
Boy, I wish I could remember the name of the street now.
I only want to say that because I was in a Facebook group of the neighborhood. They're like, watch out, there's filming.
Maybe
these streets.
I mean, there we were filming on a street. We were right on.
Look out! There's a handsome man giving a toast.
Oh yeah. Man, I looked good.
Yeah,
too
they were
in my
like,
costume.
Don't stare too much.
No, it was. Oh no, they would have been looking at the two. They would have been looking at the main cast members. They were pretty. The two guys and a young lady. They were. Yeah, well, they looked like actors, and they spoke like actors. It was funny. You know, talking about the backstory of their getting really into doing their job. But it sounds funny to, you know, a regular person. Anyway, so we take the shuttle way north of the van, and we get off, and we go into this gym of this Catholic school where the big craft service is set up, Esmeralda. Oh, my goodness. That's right, because they had all the background people were in there. But the background people can't eat until the crew eats and the cast eats. And as one of the cast, I was quickly ushered in to the craft service where they had bacon-wrapped pork, red snapper, spaghetti squash, butternut squash. What was the other meat? They had something else. Then they had desserts. They had all sorts of salads. They had fruit. They had all sorts. Oh, man, it was an elaborate spread. So we had a little something to eat there. And then one of the PAs came over, and he had sat all the cast people together, except for the main people. They don't come and eat with the unwashed. I don't know where they went to. But he came and got us. And, you know, oh, we have to take you to set now for rehearsal. So we do all that, and it's going, and it's pouring at some points, and there's lightning, and they got to keep stopping. And then, Esmeralda, we're sitting in the green room. All the background people are still either on a bus, where they, when it rained, they herded all the background people into the buses and just made them sit in a bus. Or they stayed outside in the drizzle while we were in this little building, and they said, oh, guys, there's a break in the rain, and craft service has set up, and they have Thai food.
Ooh.
So if you'd like to go out and have Thai food, And they had all sorts of Thai food. And then they had a million sorts of treats. They had candies and granola and chips and Rice Krispie treats and everything you could imagine to keep hundreds of people moving in the wee hours of the morning so their energy did not dip. And you know what they brought out for the extras? Small cups of water.
Oh.
Yep. It is a rough gig being a background player. It is a rough gig because you're there all night. And I don't know what they pay them, but they paid them in cups of water. They did get dinner before they started, though, so that was good. But yeah, craft service is the way to go, Esmeralda. You want some pop? Sure. Name brand pop? Sure. A couple Coke Zeros. That's what I pounded down. Had me some basil chicken, beef and broccoli. Mm. Oh, sure. Yeah, it was. Oh, man, my diet went out the window. But I justified it by saying, well, I'm working.
And you probably didn't have to, because I'm sure they had very healthy choices.
I'm sure there were some. I didn't see them. You know, I needed to be honest, as I was looking at the clock and realizing I was going to then come right from there and come and be with you guys, I was like, I need a little sugar. I'm going to jack. well, we'll leave it at that. I'm going to get my metabolism going. Hey, guess what we're doing on the other side of the news? It is the return of the Overnight Arcade. And yes, we do have valuable prizes. Tonight we are going to play, or this morning, the Tri-Bond Challenge. I will explain the rules and when we come back. But first, Dan, what callers are we looking for?
We work for 720. Why don't 2 and 7?
Caller 2 and caller 7 at 312-598. What's our number? 981-781-7200. Boy, it's I'm loopy.
Do you need more sugar?
I might.
I was going to say, you got the taste of fame, and now you don't even remember our number.
I remember the call letters. I remembered how to get here. 312-981-7200.
Yeah, it's because your driver drove you.
That's right. My driver did it. First team. My stand-in is actually doing the number now. So caller 2, caller 7, 312-981-7200. When you hear Vic start the news, you can call in. And if you are one of those people, then you will play. We still have a break to do, don't we, before the news? Hang on, Vic. We'll get to you. I'm sorry.
Shall we play a game?
It's a new game? Only this time the game is real. Can you handle it?
Everybody play the game. Time to play the game!
Oh my goodness, it's been way too long since I've been able to say that's the theme song for everyone's favorite overnight radio game show. It is the Overnight Arcade here on WGN. I am your quizmaster, Brian Noonan. With me tonight, Dan Chigrew, Esmeralda, Vic. Everybody's a part of the game tonight. During the Overnight Arcade, of course, if you did not get through to play along on the air, then at-home wagering is always encouraged. Let's meet our players, shall we? First, we say hello to Linda. Hello, Linda.
Hi, how you doing?
I am well. What do you do for a living, Linda?
I do in-home pet sitting.
In-home pet sitting. Very nice. What are you sitting for now?
Right now, I'm not sitting on anything but the couch.
Ah, nothing. Very good. And where do you live, Linda?
Palatine.
Very nice. All right, let me introduce you to your opponent, the person you hope to vanquish, but the man who doesn't think he will be vanquished. It's Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
And where are you from, Tom?
From Peru.
Peru. The country or the city in Illinois?
No, Illinois.
Peru, Illinois. Very good. And what do you do, Tom?
I'm a truck driver.
Truck driver. Very good. What are you hauling?
I haul plastic pellets.
Plastic pellets. What do they use plastic pellets for?
Anything made out of plastic.
All right, very nice. All right, very good. All right, Linda, Tom, here's what we're playing tonight. We are playing the Tri-Bond Challenge. This is a game where I will give you three things. You need to tell me what those three things have in common. For example, if I were to say Adam, Hoss, and Joe, what do those three things have in common? Well, they are characters on the TV show Bonanza. So, well, they're not all going to be like that, but they will all be three things. They will all have something in common. I'm going to ask you a question. If you get it right, you get a point. If not, your opponent will get a chance to steal. First 1 to 5 correct answers, or whoever is winning when time runs out will be our winner. Linda, Tom, are you ready to play the game?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah. Let's flip it and see who wins. Oh, and Tom gets the first question. Tom, here we go. The Tri-Bond Challenge on WGN. Tony, Oscar, Grammy. Tony, Oscar, Grammy. What do those three things have in common?
They're all award shows.
They are all awards. Oh, I don't know what happened, Dan. It didn't play. Oh, I must have the CD. Yes, that is correct. We'll figure out why it didn't play after, but yes, it is correct. Very good. Oh, there's... now I know why. Never mind. We'll figure it out. All right, so Tom has one. Very good. Let's go to Linda. Linda, here we go. Fire, nut, saltine.
Crackers.
Crackers. They are all crackers. Yes, they are. That is correct. Ding, 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 ding. Dad's just looking at me like, I don't know how the CD players work. I don't know either. I don't know what's... I think I know. Hold on. We'll figure it out. There we go. Hold on one second. I want to give you guys the whole thing of the game, but for some reason it's not. There we go. There we go. Look at that. I figured it out. We're all tied up.
No.
All right. We don't have to go. We don't have to go completely crazy. As you can tell, we haven't played the Overnight Arcade in a while, but after the first round, Tom and Linda are tied at one. This is very exciting, isn't it, Dan? You bet it is.
Yeah.
All right. No, the most exciting part is watching me try to hit the board like a chimp with a stick.
When that first sound effect played, I wasn't sure if it was a sound effect or you just hearing the fact that you figured it out.
I was so excited. But then it wouldn't stop playing. It just...
Yeah, it might not be in single.
Yeah, I don't
Tom,
know.
Tom, we're going to have to do our own sound effects. Are you ready?
All right, here we go. Yes. Tom, here's your question. Football plays, hugs and kisses, tic-tac-toe. Football plays, hugs and kisses, tic-tac-toe.
Man.
What do they all have in common?
X's and O's.
I know.
Wait a minute, what did you say, Tom?
X's and O's.
Ding, 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 ding. That is correct. Very nice, Tom. As time was running out, Tom makes the play.
Oh, yeah.
Very good, Tom. You take the lead 2-1. We come back to Linda. Here we go. Linda, you ready?
Yep.
All right. Dinger, four-bagger, round tripper. Dinger, four-bagger, round tripper. Dan is nodding his head. Esmeralda has fallen over.
Can I get Esmeralda to help me?
No, we don't have phone-a-friend.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I know, but I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, that's no good. That means, Tom, you get a chance to steal. Dinger, four-bagger, round tripper.
Basketball?
Oh, no. They are all terms for a home run in baseball.
Thank you.
All terms for a home run in baseball. Nobody gets a point on that one. We stay with Tom. And, Tom, here we go. Marciano, Graziano, Balboa.
All boxers.
I need more specific.
All champion boxers, all Italian boxers.
No, I'm sorry. Ugh. I'm sorry. Linda, your chance to steal. Marciano, Graziano, Balboa.
Rockies.
All Rockies is correct. Yes, very nicely done. Linda tying it up at 2. Oh. All right, that's enough.
Tom, are you in your truck?
Here we go. Linda, gun, baby, talcum.
Powder.
Powder, ding, 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 ding. Yes, correct, Linda, very good. Linda takes a lead, 3-2. We're back to Tom. Tom, hero, submarine, ham and cheese.
All sandwiches.
Ding, 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 that is correct. Ties it up at 3. Oh, now we got a game, friends. Now we got a game. Here we go, back to Linda. You ready, Linda?
Yes.
Finger. Oil, latex.
Gloves.
Oh, incorrect. Ooh. Incorrect. Tom, your chance to steal and take a commanding lead. Finger, oil, latex.
Finger, oil, latex.
Finger, oil, latex.
Oh, I thought you said foil.
No, I said oil.
Okay.
No, I Tom, can't think of other thoughts on
oh,
that one.
No, Tom. It is, of course, paint. Finger paint, oil paint, latex paint. Oh, my goodness. Nothing for Tom on the steel.
Never heard of finger.
You never heard of finger paint?
No. Oh, finger. Okay, okay. Yes.
Tom, come on. Come on. You're not that old, Tom.
Oh, man.
Seriously. All right, we stay with Tom for this one. He's got three. This would give you four. U.S. Open, French Open, Davis Cup.
Oh, that's golf championships. Oh, no.
We go to Linda for the steal. U.S. Open, French Open, Davis Cup.
Tennis.
Tennis tournaments is correct. Giving Linda four. Oh, my goodness. Linda, let me say this. This is always very exciting when I get to say this. You have four. You get this right, you're the winner. If not, you give Tom a chance to steal and stay in the game.
Tom, I would have said golf, too.
That's where my mind was at.
All right, here we go. Your Tribon challenge for the win, Linda. Italian, French, pumpernickel.
Bread.
Bread is correct. Mm. Ding, ding, ding. We'll see what happens. You are the winner, Linda. Congratulations. All right. I'm waiting to see.
Thank you.
Nope. Now it's just going to repeat, Dan. Yes, congratulations, Linda. That's very good. Tom, you played a heck of a game. You did it. You did very well. But Linda has five. Tom has three. And Linda is the big winner. So, Linda, here, let me tell you what you've won. This is very, very exciting.
Thank you.
We're going to send you a family pack of four general admissions to, Sycamore Speedway. Get your motor running.
Really?
Yes. You can go for the 2018 race season. Visit SycamoreSpeedway.com. We're going to send you there. And we're also going to give you a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC so you get both of those things. And, Tom, because I hate to send anybody away empty-handed, I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift card. How do you like that?
That's fantastic.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy. They sound a little underwhelmed, Dan, I got to be honest.
No, I'm excited.
No, I know you are. I'm just teasing.
Tom, does Tom have Lou Malnati's in Peru?
I don't know.
No, we love to go up to the city.
Ah, perfect. You can always you can go to one of their 40 Chicagoland locations, or, Tom, you can order online at loumalnatis.com. All right, so hang on, Tom. Dan, don't hang up. Dan is going to get all your information. Linda, congratulations. You are the big winner. I apologize for the technical difficulties that we had during the game, but,
just a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Congratulations. Enjoy your prizes. Hang on. Dan will get all your information.
We will. Thank you.
All right. There you go. So first round. Dan, what do you say? Should we do a short round?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the heck? What callers do you want?
Let's go with callers 9 and 12.
Oh, wow. Do we have that much time? Sure, we got a couple
minutes. We got a break. We got to do weather and traffic.
Oh, we do have to do weather and traffic. You're right. And we have to figure out the CD players. Caller 9 and caller 12 at 312-981-7200. How do you like that, Esmeralda? I knew the number that time.
Did someone whisper it in your ear?
No, I wrote it in big red letters right in front of me. But numbers, not letters, because I wouldn't have been able to say 312-981-7200 if that was in letters. Would have been like 18 pages worth of words. Anyway, 9 and 12, you're going to play another quick round of the Overnight Arcade.
Game on!
Game on!
Time to play the game!
All right, we've got to get to this one quick. We have a very short round ahead of us, so let's not waste any more time. Let's meet our players for round number two. It is John. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
I am dandy. Where are you from, John?
Chicago.
Chicago, and what do you do for a living?
I'm retired a long time ago.
Very nice. What'd you used to do?
I taught school for a while. I was in the industry for a while. I had a limousine service for a while.
You're a man of many talents, John.
Yes.
Well, let's see if this other man wants to make sure that you don't have the talent of winning at the arcade. And that man is Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning.
Good morning. And where are you from, Dennis?
Bolingbrook, Illinois.
Bolingbrook. And what do you do for a living?
I'm an account rep for a food distributor.
Ah, very nice. All right, gentlemen, I don't know if you were listening to the first round, but here's what we're playing. We're playing the Tri-Bon Challenge. I'm going to give you three things. Oh, those three things have something in common. Your job to tell me what they are. For example, if I were to say Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever, and School Days, you would tell me those were all films directed by Spike Lee. So we have three things. They have something in common. You're going to tell me what they are. Do you understand the rules, gentlemen? Are you ready to play the game?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, then. Let's start playing the game. We'll flip the coin, and John goes first. Here we go, John. Superfly, The Body, and The Macho Man. Superfly, The Body, and The Macho Man.
Ron O'Neill films?
No, no, that is incorrect. Yeah, we got the sound effects fixed for this round. That means, Dennis, you get a chance to steal. Again, it is Superfly, The Body, and The Macho Man.
I'm guessing it Wrestlers.
Wrestlers. That is correct. Now, isn't it better with the sound effects, Dan? Oh, man, it just adds a whole different element to the game.
It's always great, though.
It's fantastic. All right, Dennis, you stole that one, and we stay with you for number two, Wheel, Lawn, Rocking. Wheel, Lawn, Rocking.
Those would be chairs.
Chairs. That is correct. And after the first round, Dennis with a big lead over John, 2-0. But John, don't despair. You could still take over and win this game. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Butter, steak, Swiss Army.
Knives.
Knives is...
Awesome!
Yes, that is correct. And John is on the board. 2-1, Dennis over John. Now we go back to Dennis... In Bolingbrook. Dennis, are you ready? Tweedledee and Tweedledum, Castor and Pollux, Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Twins?
Twins! Very nice! Yes, very nice. Dennis with three. Uh-oh, looks like we are running out of time. We have time for one more. John, we'll see. You can't win with this, but we're going to give you a chance anyway. Here it is, John. Brazil, macadamia, and cashew.
Nuts.
Nuts.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
All right. Dan, we're out of time. I'm going to ask you for a ruling. Now, should we just take the score as it is, or should I throw out one sudden death question? What do you think?
Oh, why not do sudden death?
All right, one sudden death. Here's how we're going to do it, gentlemen. I'm going to give you the clue. You yell out your name. If I hear your name first, you get a chance to answer. If not, the other person gets a chance to answer. The person who gets it right is the winner. Are we good?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here we go. An actor, a crowded amusement park, a football field.
Dennis.
Well, think of lines.
Dennis.
John.
Well, hold on. I heard Dennis first. Dennis?
Lines.
They have lines. Let's go to the board.
Good job. Keep up the good work.
That is correct. And with that answer, Dennis is our big winner. Congratulations, Dennis. This was a well-fought battle. Oh, my goodness. Very, very nice. All right. Let me see. Dennis, what do we have for you today? We've got a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. We're going to send you one of those. We're also going to send you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And, John, because I hate to send anybody away empty-handed, especially somebody who played so well, I'm going to send you one of these desktop indoor weather stations as well, brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. So, gentlemen, congratulations on a great game. Dennis, you're the big winner. John, enjoy your prize. Gentlemen, hold on.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for playing. Hang on, and Dan will get all your information. All right. There you go. That's how we do the Overnight Arcade. Now we do this, and then Vic gets to do the news. Goodness, it's Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio. Nick will be back Monday morning. I have had a lovely time this week. Looking forward to the weekend, as I know Dan, Esmeralda, and Vic are. Big plans for the weekend? We'll start with Esmeralda. Do you have any big plans? You and V doing something incredible that we should all be jealous of?
No.
Oh.
I think he has to work all weekend.
Oh, no.
I'm going to try to clean the house.
Man, you know how to live, Esmeralda.
It is so gross in there.
Is it really?
Yeah, we got to. Okay. We've been neglecting the home.
So is this going to be an all-day or a two-day affair?
Probably.
Wow.
Because it's because I really want a deep clean.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to get into all the nooks and crannies and
you're going to do the grout?
I want to. I just got a steam cleaner.
Oh, wow. All right.
So I'm going to try that baby out.
Now it's taking a turn for the better. I was thinking, man, that sounds kind of boring, but now you got a steam cleaner. You're going to get in there. Your crannies are going to be cleaned. Your nooks are going to be shiny. Everything's going to be dandy. Now, Vic, last weekend you fled town because of Lollapalooza.
Yeah, that is correct.
You ran away like a man with sanity and left town. So are you staying put? Because there's no big festival near your house, is there?
No. You know, my kid. I pick my kids up again this weekend. I had them for the summer. I dropped them off last weekend. I get them back this weekend.
Oh,
and
nice.
And they start school on Monday, so I thought it would probably be a good idea to get their school supplies.
They start school Monday?
This weekend, so yeah, they're back to school.
Really? Wow, that seems early.
Well, the high school, my son that's in high school does. And I don't think the other two do yet, but yeah, it's that time.
Yeah, it's
time.
Probably time to get those school supplies.
Yeah, probably should do that.
You're going to strangle each other. Is that not a thing?
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I don't know,
shopping and stuff.
You know what?
Because
that's a good point.
Fancy notebook.
Oh yeah, Trapper Keeper.
No, my kids are fine. Whatever you want to get me, Dad, I'll take it.
That's nice.
It can be stressful in depending on where you go to get your school supplies, especially last minute. There's a lot of people trying to get those school supplies.
Oh yeah, and school supplies have been out for a few weeks anyway.
Right.
At least
I procrastinated on that.
Yeah.
Well, and what like high school? I'm trying to remember what kind of supplies they need for high school.
Used notebook.
Yeah,
a calculator that costs about $300.
I was going to say the T81s.
That's something.
Yes,
in the last
you're
few
right,
years.
Dan. I think it is.
Yeah, I remember having
fancy
to get Molly one, and then the next year, like for her junior year, she had to get this one kind of calculator. Then she needed another fancy one her senior year. I was like, well, no, she's not going to be a mathematician.
Yeah, but are they taking those classes, Vic?
Yeah, my son actually is taking, he's a sophomore. He'll be taking some of those, I think, AP classes.
Oh, wow. Man.
Well, you know, I mean, anybody can take them. You just have to pay for them.
But you got
to
stay
be able to pass them. Yeah.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
You got to be able to do the work. So you got to get the fancy schmancy calculator.
If you bring it in, Esmeralda will show you how to spell boobs on it.
Boobless.
Oh, my God.
Boobless.
Oh, see, I used to just be able to spell
still around.
Hell. That's what I.
Someone needs to create an app that costs $2.99 a month that has that T81 technology. It can do everything that calculator can. Don't you guys agree with me?
Yeah,
on that?
I agree with you.
That would be
you could
great.
Probably do everything on a laptop. There probably is already an app.
There probably is.
There may be.
But if there's not, trademark Vic Vaughn.
Right.
4:14 a.m.
I'm sure they'll contact me and give me a.
But I doubt that the school lets your kid
have his phone.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They can be on their phones in class. My son,
what?
Anyway.
Really?
They can use them in class. They also have, each student has a Google Chromebook.
What?
I believe is what they're called.
What kind of hippie school is this?
Yeah, it's McHenry.
Most schools.
McHenry,
Brian,
West Campus.
Don't most of the kids you teach
have iPads? Yeah, all the kids I teach
iPads?
Have iPads. But that's this district. That was a grant from Apple. That was, because trust me, this is not a district where the kids could afford to have iPads. This was some sort of grant. So it's a one-to-one district, so every kid has an iPad. And
That's great.
And when I
they
say...
Need to keep them?
Well, they give them back at the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
And they have to check them periodically to make sure that they're not doing anything untoward on them. And last year, one of the third-grade girls that I was teaching, it was time to check it out. Well, it turns out her brother had borrowed her iPad.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, he had looked up some things and wasn't smart enough to erase his browsing history. And suddenly the third-grade girl is in the principal's office trying to explain why there's pornography on her search.
Don't these kids know about incognito?
Obviously not. Obviously not.
Why don't you tell us what that is?
There's a button in the corner. You got incognito.
Wow.
New tab, new window, new incognito window.
So WGN IT department, if you're looking for any questionable computer activity, you might want to check traffic.
Start with the traffic computer.
Yeah, start with
but that. But then Mary's going to get caught because it's never Esmeralda. It's never the person who does it.
It's Esmeralda and Violetta.
Well, they're research.
What are you researching?
I don't know.
Weekend activities? How to clean your nook and cranny?
Look through Dan's. I bet you...
Happily married.
No, but the things that we've had you search for.
Look through Dan's.
Oh, I got you. That's a good point. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, good luck with that. I used to, man, I loved getting, I think I'm like every person, I loved getting the new school supplies because that meant a whole new year of me doing absolutely nothing and being told I wasn't living up to my potential. That's, man, every time I looked at a new packet of loose leaf paper, I thought, man, my potential is going to be as empty as these pages. It was beautiful. Disheartening for my parents and the educators that had to stand in front of me and try to hammer things into my brain. But some of it must have stuck. But it was not, there was a lot of that. Living a Dan, did you live up to your potential?
I'd like to think so.
I think so, too. I think you're doing a hell of a job.
Thanks.
You're welcome. What are you doing this weekend? Are you cleaning a nook and or cranny?
I swear, I don't. Esmeralda and I don't copy each other when we have weekend activities because I too, I think, am cleaning this weekend. It is our only free weekend this month. So,
oh my goodness,
I think I am cleaning. Last weekend, Esmeralda and I both had a cavity filled.
Yeah. How great would it have been if it was in a room together?
Yeah.
We're just like getting our cavities filled.
Holding hands.
That's, wow.
Holy.
This is a beauty. And then,
twinsies.
But then does the whole show have to do it? Do Nick and Vic have to get involved with the tooth filling too?
No, they brush their teeth apparently.
One of the big shot actor types today on the show had, he brought in special food. He brought in lamb lollipops because he needed protein. And then he asked the makeup person for a little whisk, and they gave him a little special thing. It's about the size of a toothpick, but it has a tiny little toothbrush with toothpaste on the end of it. And then he was able to brush and pick out his teeth from his lamb chop lollipops.
One of those wisps?
Yes, wisps. That's what it was called, a wisp.
I tried one of those. I was in a hotel a couple weeks ago, and... I got to give it a pretty low rating.
Okay.
I couldn't get it to anything. You know how when you brush your teeth with toothpaste, you get some suds action going. Nothing.
Really?
I don't know if I did it wrong or what.
I think you're supposed to have a lot of spit to activate the toothpaste.
I think I had the usual amount of spit in my mouth.
All right, I don't know how much. Listen, I don't know how much spit you generate, Vic. I'm not, an oral surgeon. I have
no idea. Did you say the guy when you saw it was a lamb lollipop, did you say, hey, ever heard of a pita?
No, I didn't. I should have. Listen, he was...
You having a Greek taco over
I couldn't really talk
to
him.
Is that a Greek taco on a stick?
What is that? What is that? Some kind of meat pop? Yeah, he needed protein. And then they talked about their workouts a lot, the three regular cast members, about how much they could bench, how much they could squat.
Well, yeah, protein shots, in breaks, he's probably,
they're probably
in the gym a little bit.
Doing push-ups between takes.
Did you get in there? What'd you tell them?
I told them I was squatting about 2,000 pounds.
Whoa.
And they were like, really? I said, yeah. You want to feel my thighs? And that was the end of that conversation. Guy took his lamb chop lollipops, walked away. I said, come on, they're bulging. Rub them. And he said, pfft. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, Brian, guess what? You can go home. We don't need you anymore. But I didn't do my speech. Yeah, that's okay. And then that was that. All right, we've got to talk about this because it's a way I know when you're done cleaning your nooks and your crannies and you're done buying loose leaf paper and $900 calculators, you're probably going to want an adult beverage. Well, the Finnish people have come up with a wonderful way to enjoy a beverage. I will share that with you, and perhaps we will
after
all...
After weather and traffic.
Yes, I thank you, Dan. That's why I was reaching for this paper that's in my
like
hand.
You look like you were reaching for the button.
Just because I have a lazy eye, you don't need to make fun of me all the time. You know that one goes this way, and the other goes that way. I'm like Barney Google. But I can focus them long enough to say, here's the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. All right, so we've all got big plans. Well, you guys all have big plans. I'm doing a 5K Saturday morning. Sure, because I'm nothing if not the picture of physical fitness.
That is a big thing.
It's the Stan's Donut 5K. Does that change your opinion of it all? I'll run for... I'm not going to run. I walk. My wife has gotten into this thing in the last couple of years. She likes doing these 5Ks, but only the ones that give you big medals at the end. So we have all these big finishing medals that we've done, and I walk them because I have such bad arthritis in my knees, and I was at the orthopedic surgeon, and he said, well, what's your goal? And I said, oh, I'd like to run a 5K. And I swear to God, he looked at me and said, you need to find another goal. So I walk them, but I walk at a pretty good clip.
A brisk pace.
Yeah, oh, very brisk. almost so much that my face pulls back like I'm an astronaut.
My wife was kind enough to sign me up for a 5K once. It was the Race to Wrigley.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
And, sounds good.
Yes, and this was back when the Bill Left Show was 6 hours a night, so I wasn't doing much of anything besides working.
Yes.
Exercise excluded, but she's like, it'll be fine. You know, you can walk with the group.
Okay.
We get to Wrigley Field, where it was located. It was the Race to Wrigley, and I found out nobody was walking.
Oh, no, everybody was running?
Everybody was running.
Oh,
and
no.
So, so I made it maybe whatever I made it. And I was just like, I'm just going to have to walk the rest of the way. And she stayed behind. And so we make it. We come to the end. Everybody's already having their celebratory beverage at a local establishment. And
was it nighttime by then?
No.
It was still
daytime.
It was one of those things where they had the street lights off and people are sweeping up.
Yeah. So, but at that time, we lived not too far from Wrigley Field. So we had walked.
Oh,
and so we're like, all right, we're gonna get going because it's gonna take a while to get home. And they're like, wait, and they look at my wife and they're like, you didn't let him exercise and then you're gonna make him walk home? And I was like, thank you very much.
Touché. Yeah, I, you know, well, we went hiking last weekend, so she's, you know, she's got me. I can walk it. I walk it pretty fast. And then her goal, she always does well. She tries to. She's getting to the point where she's running most of it, and then her goal is just not to be last. And she's never even close to being last, but she has this irrational fear that she's going to be last. I'm like, you would have to fall and be knocked unconscious for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then maybe you'd be last. I said, but you're doing fine. So usually, you know. We're going because this one, you get a big donut at the end.
I was going to say.
And a cup of coffee, which is nice. I like the ones where you get a beer at the end. That makes me feel good. Like if you do the Turkey Trot in Lincoln Park, we'll do that one again this year. And then they had some Lagunitas. You get some beer, which is great because Molly does it with us and she doesn't drink. So then I get two beers, which is, you know, I'll get up and walk 3 miles for two beers. Because nothing says, man, you might have a little bit of a problem than drinking two beers at like 9:30 on a Saturday morning. That's fantastic. I love that. So that's we're doing that. We're supposed to go to a concert tomorrow night, but I don't think we're going to. I don't know. It's Rascal Flatts. I got the tickets for free, though, so who knows. All right, listen, we will talk about the Finnish way to drink, I promise, after the news, which we'll get to after this on WGN. Sounds like a monster clomping into. That's how we're clomping into Friday. Brian Noonan in for Nick. It has been a lovely week. Thank you, Dan and Esmeralda and Vic, for making me feel at home. As always, I always have a good time when I'm here with you guys. Nick will be back with everybody on Monday morning at 1 o'clock. Show starts at 1, I hear. I was under the impression.
Not for big-time Hollywood stars.
Listen, I roll in when I roll in.
You're on New York time.
Listen, you're lucky to have me. All right? I say that with my tongue firmly in cheek. So anybody who is listening now going, I can't believe what an egotistical jerk that guy is. I'm kidding, and these guys know I'm kidding. All right. You've heard of shower beer? I've never had a shower beer, but some people do. I like a parking lot beer if I'm going to a concert. People have all different ways to enjoy an adult beverage. Some like to just sit out in the yard and have a drink. Some do it in a club. Have you ever heard of a Pantsdrunk?
No.
Pantsdrunk is the Finnish way of drinking alone in your underwear. And it's something we all should do. Now, to Americans, they say drinking alone sounds sad, you know, and lonely. You're not supposed to, doctors will tell you, oh, you shouldn't drink alone. To which I say, what if I have no friends? Then how else am I going to drink? And the doctor has no answer for that. So then I just pop one open in his office and go, I guess I'm not drinking alone now, am I, doctor?
To doctor's office beers.
Doctor's office beers, sure. A colonoscopy beer. I like them all. All the kind of beers.
You got to wait until the end, don't you, for that one? Because you don't want to be drinking or eating anything days before?
That's true. You got to cleanse out. But the but drinking it right after when you got nothing in your system? Bazang. Cheap date, Daddy. That's what I'm talking about. 140. Not the time. Just 140-ouncer, you know. Pour a little out for the brothers who can't be with us, and then you drink the rest, and man, you're ready to go. All right. So, Ponce Drunk makes it so radically different from our general understanding of lone alcohol consumption. It is a Scandinavian thing. So, Ponce Drunk means to drink an alcoholic beverage in your pants, specifically your underpants, and it's picking up interest in the United States, mostly one overnight radio show at a time. Yes, well, you saw this and sent this to me, Dan, and I am very happy you did, because now I'm thinking of instituting Ponce Drunk this weekend at the house, but I don't know if you have to stay inside, because on a nice Saturday night, sometimes I'll sit out in the backyard with my lovely wife. I'll have a cocktail, maybe smoke a cigar. I'm wondering if I could do Ponce Drunk out there, but I'm supposed to be alone, so I have to tell her to go inside. Honey, go inside. Why? Because I'm about to get Ponce Drunk.
How high are the fences?
It's just like a 4-foot chain link.
Mm.
Clear view from one neighbor to the other one, no. There's like a hedge row. So, but the neighbor that could actually see me, there's nobody in that house. Because it was an elderly gentleman and he passed away. And his son comes in every couple weeks to like try to get the house ready to sell. So there's nobody there.
I think that's a yes then.
All right. So you're supposed to do this. It's the Finnish path to relaxation. It's unbelievable. It's packed with heritage and nuance and is rooted in a distinctly Finnish way of interacting with the world and oneself. The original term for Ponce Drunk is something that I won't even try to pronounce because there's a lot of umlauts and triple and quadruple consonants, and it ends in an IT and some sort of apostrophe, so I don't know what that word is, but it's a tongue-in-cheek expression of a Finnish feeling, basically meaning that feeling when you are going to get drunk at home alone in your underwear with no intention of going out. That's actually on your business card, isn't it, Dan?
It's a long one, but yes.
Yes, well, you have very small type. So, as we mentioned, to Americans, drinking alone, not a good thing. You're not supposed to be doing it. That we think makes you sound maybe lonely, maybe like you have a problem. Finns don't see it that way. They're quite comfortable with solitude because they live in a place that's, you know, kind of dark. They're good at being by themselves. So Finns are fairly introverted and private. We're used to enduring long, tough winters, they say, sometimes in total darkness. For these reasons, enjoying a drink or two by yourself is a natural thing. So it's not drinking alone to cope. Don't misunderstand, Dan. Don't go home tomorrow or later today and think about Ponce Drunk and go, I've had such a horrible week, such a stressful week with Nick gone and Brian here, that I'm going to have a couple beers in my underwear to cope. That's not Ponce Drunk. No, that's just sadness. Ponce Drunk is celebrating and enjoying time to alone. It's indeed drinking alone. It's not associated with problem drinking or alcoholism. It's not about getting drunk, nor is it about escapism. It's all about indulging in me time. Some people might take a hot bubble bath. You might just drink in your underpants. If you're drinking alone because you're depressed or want to forget, that's not Ponce Drunk. Ponce Drunk is more like having a glass of wine or beer and reading a book in the near nude. And or if you've just had a long week where you did really, really well. Now you want to celebrate with something delicious, which is why you also wouldn't go for the cheapest alcohol available. So you're supposed to have something really good and in moderation. That's the other key. So just have like one really good drink. It's not for everybody. A registered dietitian in New York finds value in Ponce Drunk. Says there are countless studies showing the benefit of the occasional drink. It's a great way to chill out without a care in the world. So it's mindful drinking. I gotta hand it to the Finns. I like this.
I do too.
Now, you'd have to. I think I would need to buy some special Ponce Drunk underpants.
Hmm.
Like a comfy pair. Nothing that's going to bind or ride up. You know, you want something perhaps like a lounging short.
Sure.
That would be nice. Now, yeah. I'm guessing you can wear a shirt too. It doesn't say that, but I'm getting you could, like, if you had a T-shirt and your drinking underpants.
Sure.
Don't touch those. Those are my drinking underpants. What? You heard me. Honey, where are my drinking underpants?
I have a pronunciation for you.
You do?
Yes, on the word we couldn't pronounce earlier.
Oh, please.
Kozorikanit.
I'm sorry.
Kozorikanit.
Kozorikanit?
Kozorikanit.
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 Kozorikanit?
Kozorikanit.
Right now, three Finnish people are going, I knew if I listened long enough, he would finally do something I appreciated.
This is a very, very multicultural show today.
We are huge.
Your attempt to speak Spanish earlier.
Oh, sí.
Your attempt to speak Finnish this
morning.
Muy right
bueno, klasarikadik. Klasarikadik? What is it? Dominikanikanika?
Kozorikanit.
Kozorikanit. Esmeralda looks like her head's going to explode now. What? Kozorikanit. Yes, so that's...
So here, the Sox called up their prospect.
Who was it?
Kozorikanit.
Oh, yes. Overseas player. Finnish fireballer, they call him. The Finnish fireballer. Kid's going to be huge. Huge. He struck out the side against the Asheville tourists. Kozorikanit. What is it again?
Kozorikanit.
Kozorikanit. It's a tongue-in-cheek expression of a Finnish feeling. Basically meaning that feeling when you are going to get drunk at home alone, in your underwear, with no intention of going out. Kozorikanit. Did you know there is a race in Finland where you carry your wife over an obstacle course, the winner gets his wife's weight in beer? Hello. Could be a catch-22, though. Do you want a big, beefy wife so you get a lot of beer? Or, and it'd probably be hard to carry. It'd be hard to carry a big beefy anybody. That's why today, when we had the big safety seminar, folks, I'm sure you've had these at work. 312-981-7200, if you've had to sit through these safety seminars. At least they said we're not supposed to be carrying beefy people down the stairs. They're not supposed to be carrying anybody down the stairs. We're not supposed to, it's pretty much survival of the fittest, right?
Right.
That's pretty much what they said. Survival of the fittest. Put people in the stairwell because supposedly there's two to 2.5 hours you're protected in the stairwell.
Right.
At hour number three, your French fry doesn't matter. Your ash will blow down the stairs. It's not going to make a big difference. Did you learn anything? Do you feel safer?
My wife asked me the same question when I got home, and I said I learned that I'm very happy to have Vic Vaughn, ex-military, as part of my group.
Yeah. Vic Vaughn, Vic was not in, I wasn't in the session with you guys this morning. We had an ex-military, former Marine, I guess you're always a Marine.
Brian.
Yes, Brian Altimer, from Rose Show, Rose Technical Producer. Brian was in ours. So at one point during the active shooter part of the safety instructions, the instructor was a very nice retired firefighter. He asked if anybody had experience with firearms. And everybody looked at Brian, and then Brian raised his hand, and we're like, yeah, duh. So Brian got to go up and be the guy who, when the instructor pretended to walk around a door with a firearm, Brian got to show what he would do to disarm him.
Mm.
And then everybody went, well, one, Brian is a giant human being, strong, Marine, you know, Vic's former military. Those guys probably have... You know, disarmed somebody before. Me, I haven't. I'll throat punch a guy. No, I won't. I'll cry like a baby. Beg him not to shoot me.
I believe that was what Vic Savant said he would do to somebody who tried to throat punch him.
Yeah, but see, if a guy's got a gun, you got to get right up on him to throat punch him. You know, the bullet can come at you from a long way away. The punch can only come from a few feet away. You got to get right up in his grill.
Go gadget arms.
Yeah. Oh, that would be nice. I like, too, if you have a sock, put a pop can in it.
Yeah, that was pretty
fun. That was like, it reminded me of Sean Penn in Bad Boys, where I was like, oh, that'll be fun.
Wow. We got a Bad Boys. Nick mentions Bad Boys all the time.
Oh, does he really?
And he's always like, not the one with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, the other one.
Oh, the other one.
Better.
Yeah. With Sean Penn putting pop cans in a pillowcase.
Right.
And beating the heck out of somebody.
Although it upsets him because it's a generic soda that he puts in the sock can.
That upsets Nick or Sean Penn?
Well, I'm sure it upsets Sean Penn, too.
Well, I got a feeling it's going to hurt just as much if you use a Pepsi or a Coke can.
Yeah, they all taste the same. They all hit the same.
Yeah, I'd hit somebody with Surge. Surge Cola. Delicious. I also learned that there's two... I also learned that there are two... What's so funny, Dan? I learned there are two staircases here. I didn't even know we had one. Esmeralda, do you know where our staircases are?
I do now.
Where? Sure. I know they're called North and South, but I don't know... I still don't know where they are.
They're on the east side of the building.
They're on the other side.
Yeah.
So when you turn right to go to our offices, turn left.
Turn right to go to our offices.
When you're at the elevators.
Yeah, when you get off the elevator.
Which way am I facing? The elevator's empty out both ways.
If you're facing WGN Radio, it's to your back.
To my back.
The hallway to your back.
That's where the stairways are.
It's on the side where Tribune Media is.
Yeah, the pictures with Tom and Johnny Carson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That side.
Do I have to go into Tribune Media?
No.
All right. Are you sure?
They're just on that side.
Yeah, there's a hallway right there.
All right. And that's
I only know this because the elevator. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
Bennett Wake Knight is a fine producer here. He also provides excellent music for Fly Jams Friday. But time when the elevators were
however.
Out. No, not but in a good way. One time when the elevators were out, he went up all 18 floors and I had to meet him at the stairs to let him in.
Wow.
Yes. So he's also a fine physical specimen.
If I was him, I'd be like, I'm not coming in today.
Yeah. Sorry.
I can't walk up all those
stairs.
Where are
you? Back in my car. Why? The elevator didn't work. Oh, well. I'm with you, Esmeralda.
We have to pull me up like one of those whales that they find beached. And they got to put him in one of those
containers.
Wow.
There's an analogy that Esmeralda can say about herself. But if anybody said that about anybody else...
I'd throat punch you.
Of course you would, and you should. Or if I said it about Dan, or Dan said it about me, we'd all knock each other out. Our throats, our esophagi, collectively, would be collapsed.
I get one of them pop socks.
Oh, sure, you got to do it. There were a lot of... Remember he held open a stapler. Did he do that in your class? So did not.
He did.
Don't worry about the staples, but you can inflict some harm. And then he's like swinging it at Kevin Powell's head, and I'm like, dude, I don't think Powell wants to get a staple in the eye. And we could use a fire extinguisher to bludgeon somebody. Let's be honest. I like the first two options: run and hide. And you call me a coward, but I'll run and hide. And they tell you run and hide. They tell you the only time you get a fight is if there's
your
last resort.
Oh, I told everybody you would just see the outline of me.
Yeah.
In the puff of smoke. That would be me running.
You'd be like Roadrunner in a cartoon.
I'd be out of here.
Beep, beep. Oh, there goes Esmeralda. Whoosh. Down one of the secret stairwells. You know? Oh, somebody tell me, look up to the ceiling and follow the signs that say exit. Oh, there you go. See, the listeners know things that I don't know. All right, we've got to congratulate our friends to the north. We'll do that after we get Ponce drunk and check the weather and traffic. Oh, my goodness. Final few minutes. Brian in for Nick. Nick will be back Monday morning. Steve Grzanich coming up after the news with the opening bell. Hopefully, you will have a wonderful weekend. We must turn our attention north of the border and congratulate our friends in Wisconsin for setting the world record in what else? Cheese. Yes, a 4,400-pound cheese board sets the world's record in Wisconsin. That's a lot of cheese, Dan. 2-ton cheese board. It was actually 4,437-pound smorgasbord of cheese smashed a Guinness World Record for the world's largest cheese board. The Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin united 145 different varieties. Who knew there were 145 different varieties, types, and styles of cheese? They put it on a board measuring 35 feet long and 7 feet wide. Man, oh man. That sounds... 145 varieties sounds like a made-up number.
Right.
Even if you go to like a Mariano's or a Whole Foods or a gourmet cheese store, which, how many gourmet cheese, I don't go to gourmet cheese stores. I don't even know if they exist.
Well, now that you're big time, maybe.
Well, sure. I'll have my shuttle driver take me over there and, or one of the...
fellow cast members.
Oh, yeah, one of the... Well, we're not...
Lamb pop.
Well, we're not working out. We're having our protein-packed lamb chop pops. That'll be good. took up an entire street in downtown Madison. 45,000 people gathered to witness the attraction. Only a lucky 2,000 scored sample platters. That's right. It took 60 people to prep, transport, house, style, and weigh all of the cheeses. The press release said the spectacle surpassed the previous European record holder by 1,000 pounds. Yeah. What do you think of that? Europe. We wanted to show... Wow, I don't know why I got so jingoistic there. I don't know why I had to become the ugly American mocking Europe. They feel bad enough that we beat their cheese board by 1,000 pounds. They wanted to showcase the amazing breadth of award-winning cheeses in Wisconsin. And they thought, what better way to do it than create the world's largest cheese board? So no cheese went to waste. This is good news. Spectators entering a charitable raffle to win cheese, benefiting the Great American Milk Drive. And the remaining cheese was donated to the Second Harvest Food Bank of Southern Wisconsin. So very good. So congratulations. We tip our cheesy hat to you, Wisconsin. Let's do this. Then we'll say goodbye. It's WGN.